Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat, a weekly podcast on happiness and work culture. Hello there, this is Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat. I'm Bruce Daisley. Thank you for listening. This is one of a series of short episodes, sort of Eat, Sleep, Shorts, I should call them. They're just short pieces of insight from leading thinkers on different areas. So that, as ever, the theme is about happiness at work and successful work cultures. So over the next few days, I'm just going to be dropping those and feel free to share them. You can always get a hold of us via our Twitter, which is if you search for Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat on Twitter. And as ever, my own LinkedIn is wide open and ready for exploitation. So today, Angela Duckworth is the author of Grit, one of the best-selling business books of 2016. The core premise of Grit is like an evolved version of the marshmallow test. The Stanford marshmallow test was the work of Walter Mischel in the 1970s. And the 280-character version of that is that a child was offered a choice between one small reward, in this case a marshmallow, right now, or two marshmallows after a 15-minute wait. And remarkably, the ability to delay pleasure has turned out to be one of the best predictors of success, not only in sweet, hungry kids, but in adults too. And Grit looks at that. Grit looks at how some people are able to battle through adversity to achieve better results at the end. It's sort of like a fortitude of spirit, really, the ability to persist with things. And Angela in the book takes a look at people entering training for some of the highest, most elite military occupations in the US. There's almost no predictor of the people who drop out. They can have stellar academics, they can have great success in sporting areas, consistently hard workers drop out, but there's some tenacity, there's some characteristic in some of them that leads to them having what she says is grittiness. And Angela looks at sports teams, businesses, students. Really, this study of grit tries to identify this quality, this persistence that seems to be the differentiator of our success in life. So like I say, an evolved version of the marshmallow test. Now, a lot of us in our jobs find ourselves thinking that our situation is tough. It's been a grim year. We can't see a way out of it. We probably say to ourselves, if we could just get the people with a resilient spirit, people who are going to be here for the hard fight, then we might have the only chance that we've got. And what Angela asserts is that's grit. We're going to go on and discuss what to look for when you're hiring someone with grit. But to start, I quizzed Angela, how can we build a team that's characterised by having grit?
I think I am asked more about grit at the cultural level, at the organizational level, like what's a gritty team look like, or what's a gritty company look like. And so much of what people are doing, you know, how gritty they are, how happy they are, I think really is about the organization in which they're embedded. The thing that I study as a psychologist is the individual, so the individual outlier in success. But I think that if you extrapolate from the individual and say, well, what makes a person passionate, that is deeply interested and curious about what they're doing and filled with purpose and meaning, and then if you ask about individual perseverance, you know, individually practicing every day to do one thing better and being resilient in the face of adversity, you can, I think, take that at the macro level and say, well, what would be a culture or workplace that would support that? And I think the idea is, you know, are there structures in place? Are there incentives in place? Is there a language in place at the group level that encourages people to be interested in their work, to be connected, you know, to be persevering? Oftentimes, it's hard to tell the difference between cultures that seem to do it superficially, you know, they have the values on the wall, or, you know, they have an annual meeting where they're supposed to be living their mission and purpose. And then cultures who are doing it authentically, if you spend any time with those places, it becomes more clear. But maybe more than advice from a psychologist, maybe it's more just executing, right? I mean, I think a lot of organizations know what they would like to be doing. The question is, are they executing it, you know, with that intentionality and with the discipline that it takes? There are also examples in some of us who have been lucky enough to have worked in an organization like this, or at least visited one, but you know when the genie's in the bottle, right? I mean, there are examples of places where you go. I mean, for example, you know, in my book, of course, I talk about the Seattle Seahawks. There are lots of examples, I think, in the world, even if they're not the rule, maybe they are the exception. They just prove that it is possible. I think that what makes those places authentic is that there really is a commitment at the top, but also pervasively, but I do think it starts at the top, to make things real. And I talk to leaders and coaches about, you know, how much do you have to feed the pump? You know, how much do you have to, like, think about, is the mission really being lived on a day-to-day basis? I mean, is this truly a purpose-driven organization, or do we just say that? You know, is that something you do at annual meetings? Like, do you have to do it twice a year? And, you know, without exception, they say you do it every day. You do it all day, every day. I think it's the kind of work that's never done, as in it's never finished. And so really, I think if you have true committed leadership who says, like, when I wake up in the morning, I have to think about whether we're truly enacting purpose and mission, I think that's the difference between it being a stencil on the wall.
And the one of the things sort of throughout the book, whether it was the things that your dad used to say to you or circumstance that other people have found themselves in, grit often appears to be sort of stimulated by the circumstance around us and by those things. So if someone finds themselves in a situation where they don't have those exogenous elements that drove them to this gritty behavior, what could we all do as individuals to try and cultivate a bit of that?
You know, one of the things that I think we all have to just live with is that, you know, we may not be in the ideal circumstances. I mean, you know, even think about your genes. You know, some of us would like to have different families. There is a lot that we can't change and we can't control, but there's also a lot that we can. And I think one of the things that is under our control is our self-awareness. So I always feel like, you know, the first step for anybody to grow psychologically in grit, or, you know, there are a lot of things that matter that are not grit. I study character more broadly. And of course, that includes being a grateful person, a generous person, a creative person, someone who's full of life, you know, a good sense of humor. For any of those things, I think if you do want to cultivate an aspect of you and you feel like, well, you know, maybe circumstances aren't ideal, the one thing that's under your control is your awareness. I mean, I think you can read books and listen to podcasts and go to lectures. Is it a miracle? No, it's not a miracle, but it's helpful. And I think the first step to growth is having an idea of what it is that you are trying to be, an idea of where you are now, an idea of how people like you have gotten from where you are to where you want to be. Not easy, but I think that growth is definitely doable, and awareness is the first step.
The final thing I ask you is that it's really clear from the questionnaire, the work that you've done, that the grit mentality disposition is something that can be measured. And so would you advise firms to include that in a recruitment process, even if it's not necessarily to eliminate candidates, but it's more to adapt the interview process?
I do not recommend using my grit scale for recruitment for two reasons. One is the obvious reason, which that it's obviously fakeable, right? I mean, anybody could get a perfect score if they thought for, you know, 2 seconds about what the right answer is to I'm a hard worker or I finish whatever I begin. But there's a second reason. I think it's less obvious to those who are, you know, not psychologists who do measurement for a living. And that is there's a tremendous amount of just noise in any measure. I mean, the noise comes from many different places. So you can read a lot of boring papers about different kinds of noise. I mean, they're interesting to me, but probably boring to most people. And I think the bottom line is that you don't want to introduce into the selection and hiring process something that is both fakeable and very noisy. Do I believe in grit? Do I try to hire for grit? Absolutely. But I think it would be best done in other ways. And my I think, strongest recommendation is that when you're looking for somebody who's gritty, you should be able to see that in something that they've done before. Now, it may be in the same domain, right? So if you're a chef hiring another chef, you can look at where they worked and how they worked and recommendations from the other kitchens and so forth. But oftentimes when you're hiring a young person for whom that might be their first job or maybe their second job, you don't have that kind of track record, but you can still see grit. I mean, people who are gritty oftentimes pursued a sport passionately, or I had a graduate student, incredibly gritty. She had zero psychology experience, actually zero experience with science, but she had written a book, and she had also been a very serious piano player. And when I talked to her about the fact that she had finished the book, most people don't finish their book, they just start it, and her piano practice and the way she did deliberate practice to improve, I knew that those would be transferable skills to this new domain. So if you are hiring for grit, don't give the grit scale, but look for objective evidence that that is a person who has pursued something with passion and perseverance at another time in their life.
So that's it. That was an Eat Sleep Short. Look out for another one in the next couple of days. All of the episodes are live on our website, which is eatsleepworkrepeat.fm. See you next time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.